Karen, thank you for joining me to talk through what your experience has been so far. I'm interested to start by looking at how your response has been framed in terms of what you and the business have been through before. What I mean by that is the business is nearly 30 years old, so it's been through a few economic downturns and crises and stuff like that. What have you taken from those experiences that you're now applying to how you and your leadership team are responding to the coronavirus outbreak?
I think we're probably responding a lot quicker than we did in the last time. Being that a lot of my work is primarily manufacturing music industry product as well as other sort of specialist packaging outside music, that has gone through so many changes. If you just think about now compared to 30 years ago, how people consume music, CD singles don't exist anymore. That used to be the mainstay of our business. So yes, we have definitely been through difficult situations. I think last time we probably left it a little, not too late, because obviously we managed to get out of it, but left it a little bit longer to react. Just kind of, I suppose, hoping that some miracle would happen or something. Whereas with this coming up, there was quite a quick reaction time of what we had to do. And I think it's the forward planning, it's the forecasting. It was kind of okay, as soon as this happened, forecast, forecast, forecast. We just put in all different scenarios of what could happen. What if it drops? What if our order book drops this much? What if it drops this much? What if? And this is even before we were able to gauge by asking all the right questions to our clients and the industry in general. It was just like, okay, what's this going to look like in the worst case, and what are we going to have to do to mitigate it? And then, obviously, as the sort of government legislation started coming in, we were able to update those forecasts with the information they were giving us and using it in order to help us try to retain everybody in the company, but realizing that the order book had gone down. So I suppose, yeah, it was quickness of reaction and the detail in the forecasting, and forecasting, earlier.
So based on those previous experiences, were there any particular things you knew you needed to get a really quick grasp on that you knew were crucial to be in control of if you were going to be able to make proper decisions and direct the business in the right way?
Well, I think as with a lot of businesses, a lot of the overheads are the personnel. So that's kind of the first thing, in a way, you have to look at, but you have to also be very aware that at times like this, you've still got to function and give a great service as a company. And I think this is probably something that I've learned over time, whereas a lot of people will drop what they consider the non-essential services, which is probably kind of like sales and marketing and things like that. It's actually concentrating on those is what's going to get us through, and to also start thinking outside the box a little bit more as to what can we do to be better, what can we do over Zoom or Teams or whatever, to just kind of like step that bit higher than anybody else. Did that answer the question? I kind of went off on one
Yeah,
there.
when you started to pull together these hypothetical scenarios, doing some forecasting and stuff like that, what were the vital ingredients that you knew you need to bring together? What were the insights, the piece of data, the numbers that were going to allow you to create semi-accurate projections that will help guide decisions? And again, all from your previous experiences, what did you know? I'm talking things like, it may have been part of your cash flow forecasting before, but just better insight on your debtors and stuff like that. What were the things coming together that were creating that good forward thinking plan?
Well, we did a lot of yearly comparisons. So as soon as this sort of kicked off, we were kind of looking at the trends in our order patterns, our quoting, the amount of phone calls we're getting, the amount of queries we're getting in, and then speaking to all of our clients and trying to get as much information from them as possible, which is really hard in this situation because they're as much in the dark as everybody else is. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to have to adapt really quickly as well. But just I suppose gathering as much information as we could from past experience, from comparing sort of hard data that we've got from talking to clients, and a little bit of gut in there as well. obviously that you can look at things that you know aren't going to happen in the next few months and take them out of your cash flow. You know, I'm not now sending, I don't know, about 15 or 20 of my staff over to visit a factory in Europe or the Far East or whatever, because I can't. So that immediately comes out and helps along with the cash flow a little bit. We're not going to be going to a conference, big conference down in Brighton next week. Again, probably 8 of us were going to go there. There's hotels, there's travel, there's all the expenses that you have of doing something like that. That's not going to happen. That comes out. You just have to look at everything in quite a lot of sort of minutiae. Unfortunately, none of our landlords have been very helpful. Okay. Obviously, that's an awful lot of money that we spend. We've got 3 different offices, and they've none of them have been helpful, shall we say, which is a bit of a shame. But obviously, we looked into that. I suppose in a way I'm slightly different to the way a lot of people run a business, in as much as I've actually kept a lot of our profits in the business just in case. I call it our rainy day money. It's actually, I suppose technically it's my retirement fund. Bye bye. Never going to retire anyway. But yes, so we always have kept working capital. I've always kept working capital in there, thank God. Yeah. I don't know. I think things have been very different if we hadn't. What it's enabled us to do is those people on furlough, we have been able to top up their wages. Mm-hmm. And it's been a buffer in the short term. Yeah. To know that we can get through this. Obviously, if you kind of start projecting forward into the sort of medium, longer term, and you're looking at, the possibility that things might drop off even more, that there'll be some people delaying payments, then we're starting to have to look at the CBILS loan.
Yeah.
Because I can see that if you're planning forward, which we are, that there's going to be some issues sort of going along the road, because a lot of the things like the VAT deferments and the tax deferments and everything is all very well, but they're deferments, and that's helping cash flow right now, but it's not going to help cash flow in 6 months' time, where actually a lot of the real effect of this is going to start showing.
Because
it's the if there are people that are going to go bust, or if people are going to defer payments, and so on, and if things are going to drop, if the order book drops in sort of May, June, July, that's going to not have an effect for another sort of 6 months or so, and that's when things you've got to plan for that and then try to do as much as possible and get in as much into place as you can for over there.
So with the cash that you had worked hard to keep inside the business, obviously that's a fortunate position, but it's foresight, so
yes,
it's a good thing on your behalf. But when you're looking at that pot of money and you're looking at how this could or should not be spent, obviously there is no actual light at the end of the tunnel, we know this is going to be finished and we can go back to business as usual. You as a leader, when you're thinking about spending that, how are you thinking about doing that in a way that doesn't just mean in 6 months time you've burnt through that pot you've worked hard to save up and you're still not any close to towards a resolution?
Well, obviously we're using, you know, the fact that we can furlough staff at the moment has been a godsend, really. I think things would have a very different picture if we hadn't been able to do that, and we're going to have to put a few more on furlough at the moment, and then judge what happens going forward again to see who we can bring back. Really, it's there. At the moment, it's there to make sure that everything, that it's there for cash flow purposes at the moment, rather than spending it. If you see what I mean, it's cash flowing. I'm not spending it on anything. You know, I have to pay wages. I have to pay the rents. You know, there's everything that you have to pay. So. You know, it's all part of the cash flow, it's all part of the company. It's being used to keep everything flowing. It's not being spent on things it doesn't need to be spent on.
but you took the decision that you thought it was quite important to top up salaries and use the cash that was inside the business to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, it's the staff that run the company. Yeah, it's their welfare, it's their livelihoods. I thought it was, yes, I thought it was important. I might look back on it, if this goes on for ages and ages and ages, who knows, I might look back and go, well, that was a bit foolish, think of how much more money I could have saved by not doing that. But you know what? This is really, really difficult situations for everybody. And my staff are fabulous. And if I can get at the end of this, if they're still, if I can still keep them really engaged, and if they're still really engaged, then they're going to do so much better. I have spoken to people who are in other companies or know people in other companies where the way the situation has been treated has been very different to the way that we've treated it. And all those staff are really, they're really pissed off, they're disengaged, they're really worried. I mean, everyone's got a degree of anxiousness because of uncertainty, and that you can't do anything about because there is uncertainty. Over worrying about something that you don't know the outcome of, it is kind of a bit of a waste of energy. But people are going to be anxious. So the least anxious I can make them, and the more engaged I can keep everyone, and the more sort of community spirit that we can keep going amongst the company, means that we'll get out of this better. Because when I have people coming back, I want them to want to come back and to know that we've done everything in our power that we can possibly do. Mm. And therefore, we'll rise above.
Okay. So looking at how the business has managed to come out the other end of other kind of downturns and crises, what are you taking from those learnings to plot how, and again, it's hard because we don't know when this is all going to end, but in terms of kind of plotting a way out of this, what was the way you got out of it before? Was it prudent financial management? Was it innovating and pivoting the business? How are you taking those kind of things to go, look, based on there being a rough assumption that probably it's going to be disruption until the end of the year, here's how I see the business coming out the other end and being able to thrive again?
Well, it's interesting. It was a bit of both. It was definitely financial, a lot of it based on financial. We had to, I did at that point have to make people redundant, which is hands down the worst thing I've ever had to do. I guess having done it once, does it make it easier the next time? I'm hoping there's not going to have to be a next time. Crystal balls and all that. We also, I think at that time, so our reaction then was a reaction to the music industry changing. and we acquired a company that sat outside the music industry and did bespoke high-end sort of packaging for everyone outside the music industry. So sort of perfume companies, fashion industry, drinks industry, high-end sort of gifts and things like that. So we acquired that, which is a company called Think Tank Media. And interestingly, the expertise that that brought into the company actually then really helped with the way the music industry shifted into a lot of bespoke packaging. So we then had the expertise on board to enable us to sort of do that for the music industry. Pivoting now, quite interesting. I think the pivoting that I'm looking at more is to, we're working on a few things at the moment, which we actually were prior to this happening, to add kind of more to our services that will bring people into us more. So it's something we're working on Key Playback, which is more of a kind of like a magazine-y part of us, where we'll be doing a lot of interviews within the music industry, sort of a magazine part. So it's not necessarily a business driver, but it's a look how much more we can offer you, would you prefer to do your work with these people who are obviously really on the ball, really know everything about it, or someone else? So we're trying to kind of add more to what we are. What I'm also looking at is doing, we do a lot of kind of like training to people and workshops. Our reckoning is if people know how things are done, how things are made, you get more of an understanding, so you can then operate better and everyone understands the whole process that we have to go through and all the difficulties in the supply chain and things like that. And so if we sort of show people how everything's done and inform them and teach them, then it just makes things easier. And we, as I say, we do that as kind of workshops now, and we're now looking to sort of extend that on online. At the same time, we're very much into how to make our whole, we make physical products, and our physical product is made out of plastics. However, we're trying to make sure that all of our factories are working as sustainably as possible. And so we're trying to keep that up as well, because the products that we make are not for throwing away. They're to keep on your shelves for years and to pass down to people and pass on to people. But we're trying to sort of make sure the factories are doing that in the best practice as possible. So things like that, we're certainly, again, we were spearheading beforehand, and we're going to continue sort of doing that through this time. Whether we pivot in other ways or not, at the moment, I think we're just kind of coming out of the kind of crisis management phase, as it were, to have a clearer picture of what you want to do. And now we're going to start moving into the more of the thinking outside the box phase, if you like, to see what we can do to make us better and make us stronger.
And that's where you'll need the engaged, motivated staff as well, won't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, just one final thing is just if you could kind of summarize your advice for people like you who are going through this kind of similar type situation. If you mentioned, and so you're going from kind of crisis response to now kind of a bit more future looking, a little bit more scenario mapping. What's your advice for other people in your situation right now? And if you can lend on, again, you having gone through downturns and stuff before, what do you think people should really be focusing on at this time?
Well, if I can kind of expand that a little bit, if you don't mind, because I think, and this is for everybody, what's really important is to, well, be pragmatic, keep a clear head, don't listen to the news too much, treat every day like it's a work day, get up like you normally would, same time, do your exercise, get dressed, have a lunch break, stop at the end of the working day, keep everything going like you normally would do, although it's not normal. Plan for all the different scenarios with a cool head. And look at it, try to look at everything, I suppose, practically, and have sort of clear plans of what each scenario, how each scenario will play out, and then what you'll do, and kind of stick to it, to what you'll do. I'm also finding it good, but my senior management team, we normally meet once a week, but we've actually been meeting three times a week now, kind of Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just to call in to discuss anything else that might have been going on, to keep our own heads level, to check in with all the staff. I think, again, check in with everybody as much as you can. I'm trying to phone at least three people a day on a video chat, as is the rest of the sort of senior team, and we're encouraging everybody amongst us to keep doing that. And keep your staff in the picture. You know, tell them what's happening. Don't pull big surprises on them, and just suddenly go, right, that's it, you're all furloughed, or I need to furlough five people now. You know, the way we've been looking at it is, as I say, we've been getting as much of the data together as we can, and then we've been speaking to the middle management and going, okay, you know, what's, you know, this is the situation. We need you to go and explain that to everyone. This is what we have to try to achieve, but at the same token, we still want people, you know, not to be so overworked that they can't work, and we need to give a good service to all of our customers. On the other hand, we have to make as many changes as we can whilst we can to get us through the next few months, which are going to be difficult, but we will come through it. Yeah, so it's just, it's trying to keep a balanced view, an open view, but also enable people to keep motivated. So yeah, it's all about communication.
Yeah, well, I think I hear that a lot. You can have the best set plans and motivations, but unless they're communicated well and everyone kind of hearing it in the way you want to hear it, it's all a bit redundant, isn't it? So
Yeah, and it's quite hard sometimes, and especially I think as sort of entrepreneurs, CEOs, quite often we forget that whilst we might have the bigger picture in our heads, we forget to actually let everybody else see that, and then it can get very confusing and makes people very anxious if you just start issuing instruction without actually people seeing why or where it's come from and what it's going to do. And so the other thing as well, I suppose, that we've learned along the way is the whole kind of change curve thing and how difficult it is for people to get used to change and the different stages that they go through, and also the kind of, you know, when you do change things, that you've got to give people almost some time to grieve before that change gets into place. So yeah. So there's all these kind of things that I think I've learnt as time's gone on that I've hopefully been able to put into place to bring people through this.
Yeah. Well, some really interesting insights there. So thank you very much for sharing this, Karen. That's really interesting. Thank you so much.
That's quite all right.